Good afternoon. Welcome to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Subcommittee on General Government. Today is April 21st, 2015, and we're going to be opening a public hearing on Senate Bill 5519, the State Library. Mary Kay, come on up. And Lisa, are you coming up as well? Perfect. John, is there anything we need to be thinking about as they join us here?
Co-chairs and members of the subcommittee, no, this is the agency's beginning of their phase two hearing. And on the agenda is they will review their policy packages and an additional request for a policy package that they will have. They will review any policy measures that will support their policy packages. They will review their state agency assessment. They will discuss any technical items, which I don't believe they have any technical changes to their budget, which I don't believe they have any. And then they will review their reduction lists. And the framework for this is they will be working from the governor's recommended budget.
Perfect. Thank you. Mary Kay, welcome.
Thank you.
We're going to turn the floor over to you. If you could just introduce yourself and then run with your presentation.
Good afternoon, co-chairs and members of the subcommittee. For the record, my name is Mary Kay Dahlgreen, and I am the state librarian. And John just described to you what I would be talking about today. So I won't repeat that. I'd like to start with my policy packages, and I'd like to start with policy. I'll do them in numerical order. The first one is policy package 080. And as you may recall or may not recall, the state library budget was for the 13-15 biennium. We were given 1 year of our budget, and then last year at the emergency board, we were given our second year of biennial budget. Because of that, we had to file a policy package to bring the funding together. And so that's essentially what this policy package does. This package increases our 2015-17 budget so that we can have a current service level and to reflect our current service level. So that is what that policy package is, and it will have some impact on a couple of the other policy packages, the amounts in a couple of the other policy packages. Our next policy package is 090. These are analyst adjustments to the agency request budget in order to reach the governor's balanced budget. This adjustment would increase our current vacancy rate and reduce out-of-state travel. It would be a $14,241 other fund decrease and a $4,768 general fund decrease. Both of those reductions would take place in government services and operations. The general fund would be in operations, general fund and part of the other fund, and then the other fund would be in our government services. Policy package 100 would allow us to sustain our current service levels within Talking Book and Braille Library. This would shift a state library specialist from other funds, which is our donation fund, to general fund, because our donation accounts are no longer sufficient to fund this position. It would be a $49,078 general fund increase. That is annual. It would be double that for the biennial based on the 080 policy package. And I wanted to show you what our ending balance looks like for our donation fund if we continue to fund our state library specialist. We probably would be able to continue funding the state library specialist, but we would not be able to do any of the other enhancements that we frankly request. We ask for donations from people, and we get donations for those enhancements. And the kinds of enhancements I'm talking about are we try to record some books, Oregon books, local books. We have news lines so that people have access to the newspaper, that our print disabled patrons have access to the newspaper. And so we have been using that enhancement money for staffing, and we are requesting that we have that put back into general fund, which it was, I believe, two biennia ago. Policy package 101. This is essentially an operations realignment. We've had some shifting in our management staff over the last couple of years, and so to respond to that and to respond to staffing issues, we have moved some of our staff to a different manager. And so what we did is we moved our IT staff from government services into operations because it does focus on the entire agency. But what we'd like to do is we'd like to just move that money from government services budget to the operations budget. So it's pretty, there's no fiscal change. Policy package 102 is associated with House Bill 2479. And this is the policy package where our Ready to Read program would become the Reading for Success program. The key components are that the eligible ages would increase from 0 to 14 to 0 to 17. The minimum grant would increase from 1,000 to 1,200. It would allow public libraries to use funds for expanding learning opportunities. There would be greater emphasis on outcomes. We would ask the libraries to specifically target underserved children and families. This would be the annual increase. It would be twice that for the biennium because of the 080 package. Just to remind you, this is a grant program. It's all general fund. It is the only state money that goes directly to public libraries. It goes to our 130 public libraries for children's services, early learning, summer reading program, and then we're asking that you add after school activities for children as well.
So share with the committee really quick what the strategy is to reach these underserved children and families. How do you identify them?
Chair Smith, members of the committee, we actually, because an underserved community is our rural children, we know that a lot of our children are underserved. So at the state library, we try to pull statistics and information for those public libraries so that we can help them identify what the unserved and underserved populations are.
So is it targeting specific communities or specific children?
Representative Smith, what we're trying to balance the fact that public libraries are open to everyone. That's a given. That's what public libraries do. We're trying to balance that with the fact that public libraries are often a middle class institution, and the children who are underserved oftentimes can't get to the library. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to say to the libraries, we want you to make an extra effort to go to where children are, who may not be able to come to the library, whose parents may not be able to bring them to the library. Because like I say, we're trying to balance that.
Makes sense. Okay. Thank you.
So the next slide that I have, this is not something that you have seen previously. I did not bring this up in our previous budget hearing. This has been a topic of discussion. Answerland has been a topic of discussion in the library community for the last couple of years. And so I wanted to be very certain that we did indeed need an additional position before I came to the subcommittee to request that. Answerland is a reference service that's initiated electronically, often in real time, where patrons use computers or other devices to communicate with reference librarians without being physically present. Oregonians can use live chat, email, or text a librarian with reference questions 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Access is available on most library websites and at the Answerland website, which is answerland.org, if you have any questions you want to ask.
Really quick, committee members, have you gone on to this?
No, but going to.
Let me share with you really quick. A couple weeks ago, I learned about this program, and so I decided to just do it. And I went and typed in something on a historical relative of mine, and it was absolutely fascinating, the response I got back and how detailed it was. Mm-hmm. So when they state that it's a reference service, it definitely is. It was amazing.
So a person wrote back to you, like an actual individual wrote back to you?
Yeah, so what I ended up doing is I sent a little thing in that said, tell me who George Vincent James is. I know who he is. He's an Oregon pioneer, one of the first sheriffs of Multnomah County. I knew all this. But I just wanted to see what they had come back with. And it was fascinating. They actually found one or two additional pointers or facts that I didn't know about. And so I thought that was, That's pretty powerful. I'd like to see, and then I'll go back to listen. I'd love to see this promoted a little more in the state of Oregon, because if we don't know about it, mm-hmm. I'm not sure how other folks know about it. But mm-hmm. but it was a very valuable service, and I could see the power of it.
Co-Chair Smith, I'm delighted to hear that. And it is staffed by professional librarians. Mm-hmm. It is essentially the 21st century version of walking into a library and asking a reference question. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as a library director, I'm always glad when my staff answer the questions correctly and even, you know, a little extra. This has been housed at the Multnomah County Library since 2003. The board has approved us moving it back to the state library. It's paid for with Library Services and Technology Act funds that we get from the federal government. There is zero budget impact, because essentially what we'll be doing is we will be moving that $397,000, and that's for the biennium. That will be moved from special payments that we used to make to Multnomah County Library. That will be moved to personal services and services and supplies. Now, Multnomah County Library housed this since 2003. A couple of years ago, they decided that they no longer wanted to house it. And we had a number of discussions across the state with our stakeholders, with the libraries. And I tried to get different fiscal agents. And I think that what we came to at the state library, but what the library community came to, is this is a state program. It probably needs to live at the state level. It is not unlike our statewide database licensing, where we manage that from the state library. One of the other nice things about this, I mean, there's lots of nice things about this, but one of the other nice things about this is that we have a hosted platform for the chat service. So there's software for the chat. We will be paying for, out of this $397,000, we will be paying for backup service. So we contract with a company called OCLC, or we will contract with a company to provide after hours service. But during the day, during the week, librarians from across the state staff the AnswerLand service. And so, for example, when Representative Smith asked his question, because it was an email rather than a chat, it was actually forwarded to somebody who had experience, you know, who had experience in that question, and that often happens. So it really is a program that's a cooperative program among the libraries. So those local libraries will be providing us with reference service. They just do that as part of the effort, the statewide effort. So in 2013-14, there were 34,460 visitors to AnswerLand. 32,367 were chat, 1,138 were email, and 955 were text. And that number has been fairly steady over the last 3 years. I think that, Co-Chair Smith makes a very good point that we have not been promoting this as effectively as we could, and I think part of that is because we've been in discussions about where it's going to live for the last 2 years. We have posted an FAQ and an annual report from 2013-14. Those have been posted on OLIS for you if you are interested in more information on that.
Any questions from the committee? I think we're good.
So now I'd like to talk a little bit about our state agency assessment. The state library assessment was established by the 1993 Legislative Assembly. Prior to that, we'd been funded with general funds and with Library Services and Technology Act funds from the federal government. A lot of that was based on the fact that we served as a backup public library for other libraries in the state. And in 1993, we really backed away from that because we have so many, we didn't really need that anymore, but we did need to focus on our state agency staff. And so the assessment was created so that we could fund that service for state agencies. Based on the statute, all agencies, with the exception of the Oregon University System, who have their own libraries, participate in the state library assessment. Two-thirds of the assessment is allocated based on FTE positions, general fund and other funded positions only, and one-third on agency use of library services in the most recently closed biennium. So so the timing on that is the use is from 11-13, and I think the FTEs are the current 13-15 FTE.
So, Mary Kay, really quick, I'm going to interrupt you really quick. I've got a question back on policy package number 100. I'm sorry I'm doing this to you, but I want to make sure I know this as we get into round three. Yes. You ready? Okay. I'm looking at the slide that talks about the policy, the projected ending balance of donation funds. And it's showing that in 2014-15, we were at about 110,000. And it shows a sharp decline down to where that ending balance of donations is going to be just over 40,000.
Mm-hmm.
I want a little more thought on that, just if you could help me understand that a little bit more. And then I want to project out just a few more years. Are we coming to the end of donated funds for what I believe is a talking book? I want to make sure I'm on this policy package 100 for the Talking Book and Braille Library.
Co-Chair Smith, I think there's a number of factors at work here. One is that we have an endowment fund. We have about $1.5 million in an endowment fund.
Okay.
Part of the reason that we had more money is because we used the interest from the endowment fund. The endowment fund is not being spent.
Okay.
It's, you know, it's been set aside,
right.
Hopefully to grow so that we can have
right.
some extra funding for that. I think our donations have been down a little bit, and we've been trying to do both the State Library Specialist 1 position in addition to the enhancements. So when we actually expected just to be doing enhancements, but when we were directed to move that position from general fund to donation fund, that's when the funding started to go down.
That makes sense. Okay.
And I want to be very clear that our donors are amazingly generous. Mostly they are people who have used the service, or they're memorials for people who've used the service. We've gotten a number of bequests that we put in the endowment. The board right now is really focusing on looking at how we can, what we need to be doing. So,
got it.
So that's what we're doing.
That makes perfect sense. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to make sure I had my arms around that.
Good.
Okay, thank you.
So just to let you know what the state agency assessment pays for, it provides state-of-the-art library services to state agency staff, and that includes convenient desktop access to commercial and non-commercial evidence-based information, professional library staff to provide reference assistance, and we are really ramping up the training on using library resources. We also use that assessment to acquire, catalog, and make accessible library materials in all formats. So in addition to the electronic resources, we are still buying print resources. We also manage the state government publications, which are those publications that come out of state agencies for the public. So that's where we're spending our state assessment money. So the assessment for 2015-17 totals $5,213,598. It will support the current staffing and level of services to state agencies. It is a slight decrease from our 13-15 assessment, but it is something that we certainly can live with. So these are our 10% reduction options that are required in our were required in our agency request budget. General fund, the general fund reduction that the board has put forward as a reduction option is to reduce our ready-to-read grants to local libraries. With our general fund, we fund essentially the Talking Book and Braille service and the ready-to-read grant program. As we just talked about, the Talking Book and Braille program is having some difficulty staffing even with donation funds, so it's difficult for us to cut back on Talking Book and Braille services. The grants to libraries, that does have an impact on the local libraries, but it's a way that we can reduce the budget without having to cut staff or services. It just reduces it at the local level. Reducing the Library Services and Technology Act grant, which was our federal funds, we get about $2 million a year for the Library Services and Technology Act. We believe that if we had to cut back on our LSTA, we would do that at the competitive grant level, because we have several programs that are statewide programs that would be far more difficult to cut back on. So they would be competitive grants, which we do about $500,000 a year in competitive grants. If we needed to cut back on our other fund, that would be government information and library services. This would probably be the most painful in terms of the ability to do library service, because this would mean that we would have to cut back on our resources. We would have to cut back on spending on our resources, probably electronic resources. The elimination of the recording of Oregon books would be our other fund, and that would be the donation fund. And that would essentially be for us, to not pay, I think we pay Idaho, the Idaho State Library, to record Oregon books so that people in Oregon have access to those. Because the National Library Service does mostly, I mean, they do pretty high level, and we want to get some Oregon books published.
So really quick on that ready to read, if we were to reduce that general fund by $186,000, aren't we diminishing our federal leverage on that?
Co-Chair Smith, yes.
So really quick on these, are these in priority order or just presented?
Co-Chair Smith, these are just presented.
Thank you.
Okay. But that is the only general fund
right. That
we have.
Right. Okay. All righty.
And Amy, I'm done.
You're done. Senator Johnson.
Nothing like coming in at the last minute and having a question. On the ready-to-read grants, that is your general fund, you may have touched on this, but how do you gauge their efficacy? I know that these are very popular grants because I hear from my libraries, mm-hmm. but who follows up? How many kids got books? Who read? Who read to them? Did they learn their alphabet? I don't know. What are the metrics?
Co-chairs and Senator Johnson, thank you for that question. It is something that we are trying to improve on. We currently, and we have for the last number of years, we require a report at the end of the year, and we compile that report. And so essentially what we get out of that report is how many kids were served, how many families were served, what sorts of programs were going on. But what we're trying to move to the next level, and we've actually started piloting this project. We're moving to the next level where we ask when the library applies for the funding, we ask them what outcomes they hope to achieve with these programs. And so, you know, sometimes those are difficult. We provide them with training on outcome-based evaluation. And so over the course of the next couple of years, we're really hoping to have some solid outcome-based evaluation.
Mr. Chair, once again, it's over the next couple of years. We will then be working on the library for a decade almost of your improvements. I mean, I'm exaggerating a little bit. But for $186,000, you divide that over the number of libraries. These are de minimis grants, and I don't know how much effort you're going to put into doing continuous improvement and monitoring the metrics. I'm on the one hand asking you to monitor the metrics. I'm on the other hand saying, What difference does $186,000 make in the totality of the need? I think if all of us had our way, we'd have every library with grants that were tailored to meet their population mix and the demographic, the age demographic that they wanted to come after. But I'm trying to figure out of all the libraries, when you divide that up across the 186,000, you don't have very much money. So let's assume Library A gets $3,000, and you're asking them to undertake 2 years of metrics developments for $3,000. When is the squeeze not worth the juice?
Co-chairs and Senator Johnson, we actually have been working to provide a menu of outcome-based metrics so that the libraries do not have to create their own metrics, so that we can, and then we can also build those up into statewide metrics as well.
Follow up? Yeah. What's the average grant?
Co-chair Senator Johnson, we have a minimum grant of $1,000. I would say that the average grant beyond that $1,000 is about $5,000. And the library that gets the most, which is Multnomah County Library, is about $90,000.
Okay, follow?
Yeah, of course.
$90,000 is serious money. So that's ostensibly half of your available universe goes to Multnomah County. That also has the densest population, has a foundation that is a support organization that goes along beside it. I'd submit that Grant County or Harney County don't have either the tradition or the capacity to have that foundation that flies along beside that provides money for the library. And half of it goes to Multnomah County. Half of your available pool.
Co-Chair Smith and Senator Johnson, that is just our 10% reduction.
Okay. I apologize. I misunderstood that then.
The actual amount is about $1 million a year.
Okay. All right.
With that stated though, Senator, I think you're on to something, and that is, you know, I hope there is a metric, but a metric that makes sense based upon the size of these grants. I got to tell you, if I was the librarian in Heppner, Oregon, and I was getting $1,000, I would hope my metric is going to take all of about 3 minutes to answer.
Co-Chair Smith and members of the committee, I absolutely understand that. I'm a children's librarian from way back. We have an extraordinarily good youth services consultant who makes it a point to work with every single library, and she particularly works with the small libraries who may not have professional staff, who may not have staff who are specifically focused on youth services. We also have an incredibly strong community of librarians in the state, and the Children's Services Division of the Oregon Library Association is very, very supportive of these of libraries. We're supportive of one another. So I am fairly confident that if you went to one of your constituent libraries, they would prefer not to report.
Sure.
But I think that they would agree that it is not onerous for the amount of money that they get. And sometimes it's more difficult for them to figure out how to spend the money. And that Katie helps them with that as well.
Perfect.
One more question that your last comment caused me to ask, and I'm trying to be consistent in asking this of all agencies. I would like to know how many consultants you have under contract, whether those were negotiated or awarded, what the deliverables are, and where the contract documents are available for public review.
Co-Chair Smith and Senator Johnson, when I say consultant at the State Library, those are staff members of the State Library. The staff who work in our Library Development Support and Development Division, we call them consultants because they work with libraries around the state. So these are not contracted consultants. When we do contract with consultants, if necessary, we go through the RFP process. If not, we go through the procurement process. The contracts are in our, we keep them in our system, and they're available to anyone who wants to see them.
Do you have contracts that are in effect now?
Co-Chair Smith and Senator Johnson, I don't know, but I will find that out and respond to you.
Thank you.
John was just sharing with me that the reorganization contract, the work that was going on as part of the reorganization work, was a professional hired.
That's been completed.
Okay. Mary Kay, appreciate it. Great job. Lisa, are we going to hear from you? Not today? We heard from you round one, didn't we? All right. John, is there anything else we need to think about?
There's a couple of things, co-chairs and members of the subcommittee. The co-chair budget includes the second year funding, so that's the 080 package for this agency. So that brings it to 2 years of funding. There's also an unspecified reduction of $110,827 for the agency as part of the co-chair's budget. And lastly, on package 102, and this is just for as the subcommittee gets prepared for further work sessions, package 102 is tied to substantive legislation. So that package generally won't be considered by the subcommittee unless it considers the substantive legislation that comes through. So that, in other words, the budget would be amended into the policy bill rather than just approved separately in this policy package.
Could you just remind us what the policy bill is?
Yeah.
The policy bill is House Bill, let me make sure I get it right, 2479, Senator.
And what's it do?
It expands the ready to read program, and retitles it.
Okay. All righty. Any other questions from the committee? Madam Co-Chair, any issues? Nope. We're good.
Thank
John,
you.
Anything else?
Co-chairs and members of the subcommittee, you'll be off to work sessions for the next several days. You'll have three work sessions: one tomorrow, Construction Contractors Board, and then two more on Thursday.
Julie, are we good? That's it? We're getting done early.
Cool.
All right. All right, we're going to adjourn. Thank you, everyone.
Julie cannot sneak attention. Thank you. Julie cannot sneak attention.